Good day, everyone, and welcome to the NESG Radio. My name is Sherif Aderibigbe, and I am the Communications and Strategic Advocacy Expert with the Nigerian Economic Summit Group. Today, we'll be discussing a very interesting topic, that's the Nigerian Energy Transition Plan and the viability of the carbon market to Nigeria. And to help us dimension this wonderful topic, we have with us here today Mr. James Oguleye. He is the Executive Director, Carbon Limits Nigeria. Yes. You're welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, sir. So, sir, we just really want to know what is, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the Nigerian Energy Transition Plan, but what are the nitty-gritty of these plans and how can it help to develop the country?
Yeah, thank you very much for the question. So first of all, when you say the Energy Transition Plan, you know, it's on its own a plan where the country intends to go from a high carbon intensive country into a low carbon intensive country and, of course, economy itself. And speaking of what the country intends to do is to look at the whole spectrum of energy. Because when you say energy, a lot of times people just talk of power, the power sector. Well, you're looking at the power, you're looking at the transport, you're looking at the household consumption, speaking of cooking, you're talking of even the industries. And when you talk of industry, you're even looking at the manufacturing industry, you're looking at the oil and gas, you're looking at also the mining industry. So the whole intent of the country is to be able to look across all these and then be able to reduce emissions, see how we can reduce emissions. Now, when you say energy transition plan, it's also cascaded into the net zero, because the intent is that you move from where you are to low carbon and ultimately to zero. And that's why the country have said, given what it is, the pathway for them, for the country, will be via gas into renewables and ultimately, of course, renewables being a zero emitting.
Okay, thank you, sir. So for the purpose of our audience that don't have you know, a good idea of what energy transition is and the carbon market, I'd love you to expatiate on the carbon market, you know, and how it's important for companies, you know, to be able to, you know, participate in, you know, in the market.
Okay, sorry, I let me track back to say, let's not also mix it together to think that each time we just talk of energy transition, then the carbon market follows. There are two different things. We could do either without, I mean, either of the two without necessarily having to talk to the two. But what's the benefit of having the two together is because the carbon market is an incentive to the energy transition. So when you say energy transition, to the layman, what the layman should be able to capture, to be able to think of, is that today I'm using diesel. Tomorrow, I want to be using gas. Next tomorrow, I want to be using renewables. I've moved from a very high intensive diesel emissions to gas, and then lately in renewables, where I'm not even emitting again. So that is the transition plan. So in the layman's language. So if you think about that in your transport, that you're moving from whatever it is presently to later at a point where we are able to be using electric vehicles. If you say within your industries, you are saying, okay, what are we using today? We're using maybe LPFO, low profile oil, we're using diesel, but we're moving from that to gas, and from at some point we are in hydrogen. So where you say there's no emissions, that's the ETP. But where does the carbon market, how does it fit in? Because it's like a jigsaw. What you're doing is that you're bringing in the carbon market where you are literally saying that for every effort that I make in trying to reduce this emission, I get a reward. And that form of reward that you get is a carbon credit. And that carbon credits that you're getting it for you being able to displace some, or being able to evade some emissions. And once you avoid those emissions, then you are qualified to get that carbon credit. Now, I hear people talk carbon markets, carbon credits so much, but let's not also make the mistake that it doesn't solve it completely. Because how much are you going to get from carbon credit is also a question of how viable is the carbon market. Carbon market in the international community is going to be different from carbon market in Nigeria. For example, what's the price of carbon? Price of carbon in international community could go as high as about 400 euros, $400 in some markets in Europe, and in some places it's as low as 5 cents. So if I'm getting 5 cents, how much can it do to whatever I'm doing? So we have to keep it in context. Carbon market, good, but it also the viability of the market.
Okay, thank you very much, sir. I'm sure this explanation has really helped to understand, you know, what the energy transition plan is about and how it fits into the whole carbon market perspective. But now, let's go a bit or dive in a bit deeper. Okay. How can Nigeria successfully attain this energy transition plan, especially considering that we have it in mind to achieve net zero, I think, by 2050, or is it 2060?
2060.
So how can we, you know, successfully achieve this plan and achieve, you know, what we intend to, that is the net zero in 2060?
In fact, interesting. Thank you for that question. Very good question. And I think that question actually further explains the reason why the carbon market should be in place. You know, because if I have diesel as my best option, on feedstock, energy feedstock to use, then I say to myself, how do I care about what the country is saying? Well, if I have somebody who is telling me that, well, if you make that investment and move from diesel and you move to gas, everything that you save there, you are also qualified to maybe get exempted for taxes, or maybe saying that for every so-so amount of emissions that you reuse, you get this amount, then it propels me to do that. We will have to make some, of course we have policies, and I don't mean to say we don't, policies that will drive us to move from one to the other, from switching from one to the other. And I tell you what, they're already playing out, because people are deliberately moving to some other sources for so many reasons. The diesel itself is getting more expensive, and gas is looking cheaper. So that is a policy drive to do it. So we'll have to do a combination of policy to drive these processes, carbon market to drive these processes, and also a lot of orientation and awareness, because some people don't even know that some of the alternatives provides a better opportunity, but also in terms of health, that it also makes you to have a good health and all that. So once you make that awareness known, then the switch will happen. I think the big question is, are we able to get it done by 2060? So, hold on. We'll find that out very soon.
Hopefully, sir. Yeah. So, sir, on a final note now, we'll look at, definitely, for Nigeria to successfully achieve this plan, you know, there has to be a bit of, you know, public sector intervention in terms of maybe policy drive from the government. And also, the private sector also has its role to play. So, I'd like you to tell us, you know, how public sector and private sector collaboration can help us fast track achieving our net zero plan in 2060.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think from that perspective, this work is going to be done largely by the private sector. But of course, the public sector are not going to be thrown behind, because the public sector will have to be the ones to report whatever you're doing in the private sector. They hold the ace to be able to make the policies to happen, to drive the processes, to check what we are doing, and to also be able to have the feedback that this is not working. What do we do differently? So it has to come in that manner. And you see that in some of the parts of, say, for example, in the energy sector, oil and gas could be private sector driven, power sector could be private sector driven, but you know, in transport, for example, that's not true. You have it as a mix. So you need to be able to, no personal person could say, I own a rail line, for example. So you have the government also in that place. So it's an interplay between the two, but that the way it will then work is that somebody stays with policies, stays with monitoring implementation, while the private sector look forward to good incentives to be able to drive those processes.
Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome.
It's really been an interesting conversation. And to our audience, we thank you for listening in today. We had with us here Mr. James Oguleye. He's the president of Carbon Market Nigeria.
Mm, I think you said that. I'm actually the chief technical officer, okay, and also executive director with Carbon Limits Nigeria.
Okay, we have the chief technical officer and executive director of Carbon
Limits Nigeria.
Yeah. Okay, thank you for listening to today's conversation. You can also listen to more interesting conversations by visiting www.nesgroup.org/podcast. Thank you. See you next time.